Or any time you transcend the bounds of the given order which God created, it's a violation. And if you do something which you express generosity can only be in terms of the fact that I'm doing something within God's framework that's recognized. In other words, a certain framework, and if I do chesed to somebody, so it means to say that I'm taking from my framework and I'm giving to him. I'm taking from my the area which is mine. I'm giving it to him. None of these things would exist if there's no being who set up the system. So that's really what changed it. Kone Shemayim V'aretz, and then the Rambam says the Ma'ariv, same thing as Kel Olam. Same exact, the same idea. So you see, Vayikra Shem from Hashem at Hashem Kel Olam. As a matter of fact, according to the Rambam, that's really why Vayita Eishel Bever Shava. Vayita Eishel Bever Shava is Vayikra Shem Hashem at Hashem Kel Olam. It fits in perfectly because it means that he showed that there's an idea. He got the people to express an idea of chesed and kindness and justice. And once they did that, he showed them that has to be based on a Kel Olam. And once that's based on a Kel Olam, so the whole ethical system is based on the metaphysical system of God, not the reverse. The world doesn't have clear ideas, but I mean, insofar as they have notions, their notions go from the ethics to God. That's really the way they travel in that direction. Now, Yehudas maintains it's absolutely wrong. Why do you have to be kind to somebody? Not because, because emotionally you identify with him. Those are shallow answers. Those are shallow reasons. You could easily puncture that kind of a system. That kind of system just sets itself up to be destroyed very easily. But the reason why you have to be good to another human being is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chanun Rachum and Rav Chesed. So everything that we do is based upon the metaphysical system. Vayita Eishel Dever Shava, it means that Chazal say, whether he planted a pardes there for the people, or whether he actually made like a hotel there, and people came there and stayed there, and he was Gomel Chasadin, Vayikra Shom B'Shem Arashem Kel Olam. And he showed that this chesed, where does this chesed come from? This chesed comes from the metaphysical idea, the true metaphysical idea of God, of Kel Olam. That was Avraham Avinu. That was Vayita Eishel Dever Shava. So the Avraham Avinu showed he reversed the system. It's not ethics that leads to, because of ethics, that one has to embrace God. It's just the contrary. That God one has to embrace because of his diyan and because of knowledge and understanding and chachma. And once you have that chachma, then you have to embrace ethics. Ethics is a result of that. It's the reverse formula. And that's really what the Mahavata is. That's the whole Mahavata. The Mahavata means, what it means, why do I have to be nice to somebody? I can be mean, I can be vicious, I can destroy him. What prevents me? The answer is, Shem Hashem Kelola, Mahu Afata. Now,
Rebbe?
Yeah.
Would you say then that, let's say, when they talk about mitzvot sichlia, those mean, that those mitzvot are those that are direct extensions of Kelola?
The mitzvot sichlia, the mitzvot sichlia, I think it means, I really haven't, just on top of my head, but the mitzvah sichlios, what the Rishonim say when they refer to mitzvah sichlios, I think what they mean is that there are certain mitzvahs that have to exist in order for man to exist. So those are necessary societal norms. That's what it means. So the Torah recognizes that that's necessary also, but chesed, chesed. When you say chesed, chesed is not necessary, because it's like I said. I mean, Saddam had a very, very sophisticated philosophy, very consistent. The only ones that ever had such a consistent idea for it, that they actually had the ability to carry this out, which means that they said, yeah, there are mitzvot sichlios. And that's why within their society they had those mitzvot sichlios. The Lo Yoshev B'Sha'as Dom. So in Sodom there was justice, there was a system of law and order, but only for those citizens that were in Saddam. But for outsiders, there's no reason for it anymore. So there's no need for it. So the outside, on the contrary, so they would twist the law, and they would torture the outsider, and they would enjoy the viciousness against the sadistic element of man. They gave complete vent to, and they said, as long as we don't do it to each other, so we're okay. But it was a very, very sophisticated system. So the idea of mitzvah sichlios, which is an idea that there must be certain mitzvahs within a society, that's true. But that happens to be true, and the Torah recognizes that certain things have to be there for the society, happens to be true. But Yehadis goes beyond that, and Ma'alafata goes beyond that. I mean, it goes that the Ma'alafata is not simply mitzvah sichlios. Ma'alafata is a much higher level. It means the imitation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, that the pasuk, the Yirmiyahu, Ki'ani Hashem Osam Mishpas Zaka V'Aretz. So, Ach B'Zos Yishal HaMasal, Haskel V'Yidoa Osi Ki'ani Hashem Osam Mishpas Zaka V'Aretz. That's really Yediyas Hashem, not just in terms of knowledge of God's existence, but also knowledge of God's midos. That's really Hodieni Nos Durachecha. That's Hodieni Nos Durachecha. I mean, that's Hashem Hashem Kel Rach Machamet. That's a higher, that's a different level.
Yeah. My point was that the fact that it's, why does Sichlius enjoy any special place, if even the fact that it's necessary for society, that doesn't give it any inherent importance, because it has to stem from the idea of God.
Okay. So what are you asking a question? Or?
I guess in a way I am. Well, I'm saying that, look, I'm asking a question now because my idea was that Sichlios should stem always from Kel Olam, but you're saying not. And if it's not, so what's really important about Sichlios? Because the fact that it's necessity for society, but who cares? Who says there's an idea of society unless you have a concept of God?
So I don't think what your question is, what there's no need to say mitzvah sichlios.
Or I would say sichlios, but I say sichlios to those things that emerge from a concept of kel olam. Because before you have a specific, you know, Torah given by God to specific mitzvahs, there are certain things that naturally stem from the concept of a God, the Borei.
I mean, I see your question. It's one of your questions. Wait, you just, I'm trying to find out what your question is. Why Rishonim classify mitzvahs as mitzvahs?
Well, he's talking about like a special thing. Oh, the reason why it's so terrible is because these are mitzvahs sichlios. Right? They say they violated mitzvahs sichlios.
In order to answer your question, I have to understand the framework in which you're using the term mitzvahs sichlios. I mean, I don't see anywhere in the Torah where it says that God gave a special, that certain things, certain mitzvahs wouldn't exist unless, and the only reason we have them is because they're sichlios. I mean, I don't see where it says that in the Torah. But if you're saying that the people were evil, like by Dora Mabel, and they violated even mitzvah sichlios, that's something else. That's showing you that there was such a deterioration of the human being to, in terms of following his mind and his intelligence, that he was even self-destructive. And he was down to...
If there's no idea of God, then being self-destructive, what's bad about that?
What's self-destructive?
Yeah.
No, let me explain something to you.
Okay.
There's such a thing. There are two things in man. One thing is man is a certain substructure, like the Rambam says. There are certain midos in man, but the perfection of the midos per se are really nothing in terms of the objective of man if it never really reaches the philosophical. Okay? But there is such a thing. In other words, there is such a base. If a person is crazy, there's no difference really between a person that's an absolute Am Haaretz, who has perfection of Midos, has no Yedias Hashem, and between a person that's in the insane asylum that's crazy. There's no difference, because in terms of when they both die, there's not going to be any difference. But would you say that there is really zero difference? No, that's not true. Because one is in a state where he's capable of... the platform is there where perfection is capable of existing. It's possible that perfection exists. You have a substratum. So it's true that if you have a substratum, if a person builds a cellar and never builds a house, so there's no purpose for the cellar. It's useless. But you can't say there's no... On the other hand, you can't say there's no difference between empty land and a cellar. And when you have empty land, you're not ready to build a house. When you have a cellar, you're ready to build a house. So there is a certain deterioration where man deteriorates to the point where he just lives by the immediate instinctual. And he can't even see that if he does step one, step two, and step three, he's going to destroy himself. There, while there's no difference in terms of the Deus Hashem, but there is a difference in terms of the organism being on such a so out of whack, so crazy, that they haven't even got a chance to be saved. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gozer gzeros on the world, and this we mentioned one time, I gave a shiur nichos tshuva, that the and the Ramban corroborates this, that there's two types of din. There's a din on a person after he dies, which means that God gives an ultimate judgment of what his state is, the state of the soul is, and then there's a din for the world, which is a completely different kind of din. It's a din, should the world be allowed to continue to exist, and should the field of Bechira be allowed to continue? That's a different kind of a judgment. Now, that judgment is based upon potential. So if there's a potential for man, that's what Avraham Avinu said. That was a different kind of judgment. That was a judgment in terms of potential. So he wasn't asking the God and the society is based upon potential. Once people have reached the point where the mind doesn't work anymore, except in the immediate instinctual situation, but where a person can't see two steps ahead of them, they can't see that if we allow this in society, the whole society is going to fall apart, then the human mind is almost gone. It's nil. So then there's no potential anymore. That's when the Mabul was brought. So the Gzeir of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of the Mabul is based upon different elements, different criteria. Then it's not the same kind of judgment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done the world or has done the person on Rosh Hashanah through Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's a different kind of a judgment than the judgment of Lach HaMesa. Completely different criteria. The question is, should they continue to exist? The world, the nation, the people, the individual, these are different kind of... Should the field of Bechira continue to be played out? Allowed to be played out? That's a different kind of a totally different kind of a judgment. So over there, when it says that they were so bad that even the mitzvah shasechom chayvam they violated, it shows that there was a complete deterioration of potential. Then, of course, there's no purpose in existence anymore. That's a different kind of a thing. But Avraham Avinu wasn't talking about that. He was teaching about metaphysical perfection. That's for those who have an interest in metaphysical perfection. That was Vayita Eshel Bever Shova. And that was the idea that everything, that the whole, by the way, I mean, that's really what the Rambam in the end of the Mora explains, and that is, from that Pasuk, the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, but it's not just Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, it's Harini, the end of Rochecha, I mean, it was the Bakash of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is that the more knowledge a person has of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nohag with his brios, so that gives a person, places a person in a certain state where they imitate the Creator. Because he has Yedias Hashem, and he has not only Yedias Hashem, that's really, I mentioned it, so I get back to the idea of that Avraham Avinu is the first one that called God Adon. What does it mean, Adon? Adon means, yes, there were people that said before that God exists. But Adon means that you can imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Adon. Adon means really First of all, that it means hashgacha, that this hashgacha, because that's Adon means Adon Arbeso, means that the Adon exercises hashgacha over his household. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exercises hashgacha over Kol Olam, but it's more than just Adon in terms of exercising hashgacha. It's Adon in terms of the fact that God exercises hashgacha is the way God deals with his bruin. So that's really how the Inyan of Rechecha, the Bakash of Moshe Rabbeinu. And through that knowledge, when a person attains that knowledge of how God deals with his creatures, so, and he has a knowledge of God's existence, but more, even how God is no aid with his bias, then he naturally imitates HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That really was the Vayita Eshel Bever Shova, Vayikro Shem Hashem Ad Hashem Kelola. That was Avram was the first one to call God an Adon. The Shem Adni was never known in the world before. That idea that Yediyas Hashem is not only the Hashem of God's existence, but of how he's knowing with his brios, and to learn from the Adon, to emulate the Adon, that was the idea of Avram Avinu. And that was the new idea of Adni. That's what Chazal mean. They said before that time, no one called Kadosh Baruch Hu Adon. Why not? I mean, it's not so hard to call Kadosh Baruch Hu Adon. Every youngster says, "Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam." The idea is so impossible. Means the Adni means the recognition of Hashgacha, not just Hashgacha, but you can learn from this Hashgacha. You understand how the Hashgacha works. You understand the ideas. The midos of Kadosh Baruch Hu, the midos of Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, in our framework is knowing with, then a person is in a position to emulate that, and his Avas Hashem will lead him to emulating that Derech Hashem. That's really, and you can't say it better than the Torah says it itself. Yedatev l'man asher yitzave es bonov es beiso achrov lishmor derech ha-reshem lasos dako mishpat. Exact same thing as the pasuk in the M.E.O. that the Rambam quotes. And hodini nostrachech of Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, it's the same idea, the same theme. But the first one to do it was really Avram Avinu. He was the first one. That's what Chazal say. He was the first one to call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon. At Lishmo Derech Hashem, the Rashi tells on Lishmo Derech Hashem, Lasos Tzedakah Mishpat. That's the Derech, not simply to do Tzedakah Mishpat, but to do Tzedakah Mishpat, because that's Derech Hashem. And he understood, his knowledge led him to the understanding of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Noheg in Briyoso. And that's why you don't need a further proof, and that's why that pasuk is mentioned by Saddam. Because that's why Avram Avinu, when Machasanim Avram Yeshayon Yosef, Avram Hoyil Dai Gadol, Ki Datum Manishin Shavas Bonav Beis Achrov. And then immediately, so the Pasuk says, so Avram Avinu engaged HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a dialogue that had to do with Mishpat, Mishpat for Sodom. That means you cannot, a person, it's not possible for a person to engage in a dialogue with God about whether a city should be destroyed or not, unless he has an understanding, a basis, an understanding of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with his creatures. If he doesn't have that, he there's no basis for a discussion, you see. Le'igash Avram Vayoma, after Tzadikim Rasha, Le'igash Avram Vayoma, after Tzadikim Rasha, so Cholim Lachamei says Kedavazul Amasarik in Russia. So Ashevik Olosli Leyasa Mishpat. That was really, you know, Avram Avinu had a knowledge beyond. You see, that's what Chazal say, that Adni was only, Avram Avinu was the first one. Let's say, for instance, Nayach. What was Nayach didn't have it in him. Nayach was also, the Ramban says, the Ibn Ezra says he was also a nothing. But the others say he wasn't, question. But the Ramban says he was, the Ibn Ezra says he was. But the point is like this. He didn't call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon. Why not? Why didn't he call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon? because it means that he didn't have this special knowledge of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Noheg in Briyosov. That knowledge he didn't have. He didn't have Derech Hashem Lasos Dokom Mishpat. And that's why you see, Noach could never never engage in a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu about whether it's right to destroy the world with a marble or whether it's not right to destroy the world with a marble. He couldn't do that. All he could do is he built a teva, he told the people to try to do tshuva, but you never find that he could discuss with HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment. After all, the most important judgment, that's the destruction of the entire civilization, the whole civilized world was destroyed with a marble. And he had nothing to say. Couldn't say anything about it. Why couldn't he say anything about it? Because he did not know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was knowing in Briyosa. That kind of knowledge he didn't have. The Adni was missing. And since the Adni was lacking, there's nothing to discuss. He knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam, and whatever God thinks, that's right. So it's very nice. I mean, it's very nice for a person to recognize that, and that itself is a high level. And the Ramban says it's a Navi, the Ibn Ezra says it's a Navi, very high level. But that's not the level of Avram, because he doesn't have the backdrop, he doesn't have the understanding of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Noach and Briyosov, and therefore he can't engage HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a dialogue as to whether it's just or whether it's not just. There's nothing he has nothing to say about it. Nothing to say about it. Because there's no Yediyas Hashem in terms of Derech Hashem, Lasos, Dako, Mishpat. That was lacking. That's what Chazal say, that the first one to call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adni was Avraham Avinu. Noach didn't have it. Noach was completely lacking. He had nothing to say about it. All he could say is Tzidek Adin. That's it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was right, and that's it. That's very nice, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu really demands of man a higher level, where it's possible for the person to reach that level. Like the Rambam says, there are different levels, but he says, I can't expect that that people are going to reach the level of the other, but the possibility is there. But in terms of potential, really HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants man to not just simply to reach the level where he knows God exists and he knows that God's Torah is true. That's not enough, really. What he really wants man to reach in terms of fulfilling his potential is to understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knowing with his Bria, how he is manig the Olam. And when a person has that knowledge, then he's in a position to discuss with HaKadosh Baruch Hu whether something is just or not just, and to be a Talmud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of how the world is judged. Mishpat, it's Tzedakah Mishpat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of understanding how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything he does is Chesed Tzedakah Mishpat. And if it's destroying stone, it's also Tzedakah Mishpat. So that's the level of Avraham. That's the different. That's the Yita Eshul Vesha. That's the Shem Hashem Kel Olam. The Shem Hashem Kel Olam is really the Shem is the Shem Adni. It means the whole world of ethics is really tied to Yediyas Hashem, and Yediyas Hashem, the ultimate Yediyas Hashem, is really how he's knowing in Briyosov. And then if a person understands that, then it's Mahu Afato, and that's the whole system basically. So I don't know if Avraham Avinu taught every passerby how deep everyone understood it, but everyone who went to his house definitely had the best Rebbe they can get. That's for sure. But what they took out of him is depends, like the Rav said, depends on the Makabel, not the source. Different people, no doubt. Everybody took according to their own level. But that was the ultimate. Of what he, that was the ultimate level of his, of what he taught in Be'er Sheva, or Yita Eshul Be'er Sheva. I want to mention something else, and that is that, give me 1 second over there. All right, hold on a second. There's an interesting thing, you see, there's a Tirgum. In Vayita Eshel Bever Shava is a Tirgum Yerushalmi, which think really adds a certain dimension. I mean, you know, the Chachmas of Torah is infinite, so there's always some little something more that you can derive. The Vayita Eshel Bev'er Sharam, so it says like this. So the excuse me a second over here. Where's the pasuk again? Where's the pasuk again?
This one. Can you tell yourself?
Yeah. Just give me the excuse me. I'm sorry.
Right before the Akedim.
Rav Yair is by
Gimel.
Yid Gimel?
Lama Gimel.
Lama Gimel? Just give me a second. Lama Gimel, yeah. Lama Gimel.
Chof Lama Gimel.
Oh, Chof Aleph. Chof Aleph. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. So, I'm sorry. What do you want to say, Howie? Go ahead.
Oh, the Rambam at the end of Perek Aleph Hilchos
Deos.
Yeah. He says, Ulefisha Shema Seil Nikra Ben Ayoser. Neim Aderech HaBeinonet Shainu Chiyom Ulechas Bo. Nikra Yisderech Zu Derech Hashem. Tehi Shalom Ad Avram Avinu Levona. Shenemar, ki yadata, l'man ashe yitzava. Aholach b'derech zu, maybe tohu, brachal ha'atmo, shenemar, l'man havi Hashem al Avram, et asher diber alof.
Yeah. I mean, I want to emphasize the fact, you see, you mean, of course, Hashem Hashem. That, in other words, that the Torah really, let me put it this way. The Torah is, I'll say it strongly, then I'll make it a little weaker. But because I'm going to withdraw on one aspect, but I want to emphasize the main point. The Torah really is against doing chesed because of identification. Okay? That's really the chesed of the world is all based on identification. Which means to say that you have to have feelings for somebody. After all, this is your friend. How could you harm him? So it's all based on emotions of identification. The whole idea of chesed is based on Yahadus is against that. Because, first of all, for a simple reason, that the idea of identification is very limited. That's number one. I mean, from a practical standpoint, that's not the reason why it's against it. It's against it because it's not true. But in general, the idea of identification with another human being is very limited. Because, you see, you'll identify with your friend much, much more than you'll identify with somebody that's on the other side of the globe. And you identify with your brother more than you identify with your friend. So v'haftal recha kamocha has no limit. It means you have to have an ava for another Jew as much as you have for your brother for anybody else. So how is that possible? I mean, so really Yahadus is against the idea of chesed being based on a shallow emotion of identification. Chesed has to be based on an objective concept, and there's only one real concept, that's Yedias Hashem. That's the underlying idea of everything, Yesod HaYesodos. So the Chesed is based on Yesod HaYesodos V'Amar HaChachmas, and that's why there's no difference between a person who is V'Achtel Recha Kamocha is not any stronger if it's your son, your brother, or your relative, or if it's somebody that you have no knowledge of whatsoever living on the other side of the globe. Makes no difference. The same exact mitzvah. And the reason is because Yahadus does not really believe. On the contrary, it's an interesting thing. You see, the ideas of identification and loyalty are very shallow. And that actually you see in this week's parsha. Because you see, by... It's funny. It has to do with the. It's starting with the. With the same parsha of Ayita Eshel Bever Shava, because it says Avimelech came with Fichol Satzval, and they made a bris, right? And that was Eikr Shem Hashem Hashem, and that's what called Bever Shava. Vayikr Shem Hashem Hashem Kelolam. Vayog Avram Beretz Plishtim Yom and Rabin. Then it says later by Yitzchak. In yesterday's parsha, so what does it say? It says that Yitzchak wanted to go down to Mitzrayim, and that's what basically I told you. The Rambam would say that Avram Avinu was a chote that went down to Mitzrayim. I have very serious doubts about it. I told you, Moshe says you should erase it. Now, another raya is because the Ramban over here says Vayi Rav Ba'oret, Nevada Rav Rishon Shehoi Mei Avram, Vayel Chitzchak Rav Yimelech Malchishin Grora, Vayel Rav Hashem Ayon Ter Mitzrayimo. So he says, Ramban says, because he wanted to go down to Mitzrayim. He told me that he also wanted to do a Nevera. It's nonsensical. So Ramban himself says that he didn't want to go down to Mitzrayim. But anyways, it says that he went to Avimelech Malchishin. Okay, who was this Avimelech? So Tirgum Unkelus says it was the son of the original Avimelech, Melech Gor, same place. So it was his son. So why did he go there? He went there because there was a bris between Lenini and Lenachti. There was a bris between their fathers. I mean, so what could you have greater identification and loyalty that two people's parents made a bris together that Lenini and Lenachti, that we should always, they should always be shalom between us, and they were kores bris. I mean, they established a covenant. I mean, the closest thing that you could have. I mean, other than in terms of loyalty and identification, I mean, that's the best you could have. That our fathers, our parents made a bris together. This brings up powerful emotions of loyalty and identification. But what do you see? The moment Yisrael was successful, so they told him to leave. So it's interesting. But you see the level they were on, because they couldn't tolerate a success. So the success, vayigdaloish, vayikano asoplishnim. So they told him, lech meimonu, kiatanta menemod. That's it. We can't tolerate your success. They're very honest. That's it. We're jealous. We're envious. We can't tolerate it. So if you want to be successful, go somewhere else. Not here. So then later it says, that what did they see? Then afterwards he was more successful. And Vayivin Shem Mizbeach, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, Vayet Shem Mahalo. So once he was born in Mizbeach and he established himself in place of his father, just like his father, Avram Avinu, Vayikra Shem B'Shem Hashem. So then apparently this had an influence on them. And they recognized that this is something different. And they came to visit him. And then Yitzchak said, Madua, Bosim Alai, Vatam Snesim Alai. He said, no, Ro, Rini Kray Hashem Imach. Apparently, after the Yitzchak B'Shem Ad Hashem, and he was established as a true leader in terms of the guiding the people, so Yediyas Hashem, so they had a different opinion of him. And they said, Ro, Rini Kray Hashem Imach. And then they said, so Vanoma, Tino Olo, Beino Seinu, Beinenu, Beinecho. The Nichris of Ris Imach, a new bris. And they said, the old Tase Manu Ra, Kasher Lonaganucha, Kasher Sinumcha Raktov, and Shalecha B'Shalom, Ato Bruch Hashem. So they said, they really were comparing, very interesting. I mean, the Torah compares the friendship and the Ava between two people when it's based on one system of loyalty and identification, as opposed to when it's based on the true system of Yediyas Hashem. That in the first instance, it's true that they apparently were ethical people, because you see, they didn't harm him, and they said that. They said, the first bris, Kasher lo neganucho, v'chasher sinumcho rak tov, we allowed you to stay by us, we didn't do you any harm. Okay, we politely asked you to leave. But we never really did you harm. So they show that we're good people in terms of midos, but now we have a higher level. We recognize that you're Bruch Ad Hashem, that now you're an individual that has Yediyas Hashem, your Bonim is Berech Ad Hashem, Rorah Inkiel Hey Hashem Imach, that the Hashgacha is with you, Hashgachas Hashem is with you. Now we see you in terms of an individual who's related to the Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. That's different. Then there's no envy, then there's no problems. It's a different kind of a relationship. Because it's really a beautiful parsha. The parsha compares the way people, the ethics of individuals, when it's based on mere identification, which has its limits, as opposed to where it's based on Yediyas Hashem. Where it's based on Hashem as an individual, respect for an individual because Ra'u Rini Kirei Ad Hashem Imach, or because a person is Yitzir Kapov Shel HaKadosh Baruch, it's a different kind of an appreciation of a human being. That appreciation of a human being isn't fraught with envy and with kino, with sino, with all the base emotions that the other kind of relationship, which is based on mere identification, you see, and a love that's based on responsibility to a covenant and identification, those kind of things are weak. I mean, they have an intrinsic limit. But that's really what the parsha does. Parsha compares those two things. So what I'm saying is like this: that Yehadus really is against the idea of doing chesed because of identification. That's not enough. In other words, it's not enough. I mean, when I say it's not enough, what I mean is that Yehadus doesn't really try to uproot it and destroy it. Because, you see, for instance, there was a brith between Avram and Avimelech. So, I mean, there was a brith. So the Torah, like the Ramban says, that really the Torah tries to make a person a rachamon in general. Because in general, that's a good thing. So the Torah doesn't really, I just want to make my position clear, the Torah doesn't really say that, it doesn't ban it. It recognizes it's a vehicle. It's a vehicle that's good, but it has severe limitations and is not the ultimate way of worshiping God. It's not really the value system of Yehadus. That's not really chesed. The chesed, that's not true chesed. True chesed is ma'afata. It's derech Hashem lasas dako mishpat. Identification, the Torah encourages it because it is good. It does bring good midos to the fore. But the Torah shows you it has, even in its own realm, it has severe limitations. And the only thing that can exceed it is something that's based on truth and knowledge and really has no limitations. That's Ro'o Ro'inu Teher Hashem Imach. Very interesting. But the same, from the same parsha, V'yita Eishu Bever Shava. Because that's really, that's the same exact parsha. Was by the brit between Avram Avinu and Avimelech. And then it says, V'yitesh v'Bershava, because that's why it was called Bershava, V'yoga Avram Beretz Plishtim Yama Rabin. And then you see, in that very situation, in that very place that he was, there were two things. There was B'shem V'yitesh v'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, and there was also the bris between Avimelech and himself, which was purely an identification and ethical kind of a system. And you see later, In yesterday's parsha, how the two play out, that the emotional and identification that had its limitations, they politely told him to leave. But when were they really able to have a true Ava for Yitzchak? That was Ro Reinu Kehayat Hashem Imach. We see that you're just like your father, Vayitayshu was Ershava, and Vayitayshu Shem Mizbeach. It says by Yitzchak, once it was Vayitayshu Shem Mizbeach, and they recognized that they saw Yitzchak in the framework of the Shema Hashem Kel Olam, then it was a different appreciation of Yitzchak, and it was a different kind of relationship. So Yehadus really only recognizes one true kind of chesed, and that's Derech Hashem, and that's the Shema Hashem Kel Olam. The other chesed is nice. It's something which should be promoted and encouraged. But it's only a crutch and a temporary kind of a thing at best, and it has severe limitations. It's a funny thing, for most people feel that that's the real loyalty, the real emotional loyalty. But that's because, like the Rambam says, for most people, the physical is more real than the ideational, when in truth, the idea is more real than the physical. The stone that falls to the ground is can be destroyed, but the idea of gravity cannot. So the idea is more real than the physical, or just instances of the idea. But for most people, the rock is more real than the idea. So the same thing is true over here, that for most people, when they get a feeling, an emotional burst of loyalty, they feel that, that's real. But the ideational loyalty that's based on the idea of Hashem, that one they don't really like so much, because it's kind of like, it also says it's not personal. It doesn't, it's sort of like, oh, you mean, it may be limitless, But the fact is that it's the same for each individual. So it takes away from the ego of the individual also. Loyalty has an egoistic element to it also. Now, it's me. You really want to be like me, personally. It's not an objective kind of a thing. But in truth, those little advantages are really outweighed. I'm speaking just in terms of the practical. Really outweighed by the tremendous disadvantages, the limitations, even in terms of practicality. Okay, any questions?
Rabbi?
Yeah.
I don't mean to be a mechutzpah, but I wonder if you can explain this halach to me. I can't find it in the Rambam, but I remember that Rambam brings down that if you have a chance to do chesed, so the chesed extends to your family first, then to the aniyim in the air, and then to Klal Yisrael. Why is it, if everyone is equal in terms of chesed, right, why does it go that way?
No, that's two different things. There's it's not because v'ahavta l'recha kamocha is the same for everybody. There's no difference v'ahavta l'recha kamocha between somebody that's 10,000 miles away or somebody that's right around the corner. But in terms of a system of who you help first, that's different. There's different reasons for why you help, why your obligations are niya yircha kodem. I mean, there are different reasons for that. I mean, it's not because of Mitzvah Chal Tesalim, there are luchas that Mishpacha comes first, Mitzvah Chal Tesalim. There's a certain system of priority, but that's different than the idea of the love of a Haftal Recha Kamoha. That's the same for everybody. Different reasons for why there are systems of priority. A system of priority doesn't mean that that is not the same thing. The way you have to execute socially your responsibility in terms of priority is not based on the same thing as the absolutes that underlie the system. There are different considerations. There are different considerations. There are other considerations.
You mean that's not what priority is?
Now, it doesn't mean you're supposed to have... It doesn't mean Vatul Recha Kamocha is greater by the Aniyei Yircha than the Aniyei Yircha. That's not what it means. But there's a certain system of priority that you cannot overlook Aniya Yircha and go help others that are further away from you. That lends to discord, that there are different reasons. There are various reasons why the systems of priorities are based on other reasons than the absolutes that underlie the system. It's two different things. You can't, if a person will say, a person will say, V'hafta Recha Kamocha, so therefore, my brother needs money, and I won't help him. I won't help my brother. I'll go help the other guy that's 2,000 miles away. That's not right. That's not right because there's a certain system of priorities. On the contrary, that leads to discord and sinner. So there are reasons why there are priorities, but not because the absolute is any different. That's a totally different thing. Also, the Recha Kamocha is the same for every Yisrael. There's no difference between one Yisrael and another. At the same time, when you execute your obligation, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to execute it in the exact same manner. That there's no system of priorities. It's not a tie to the sasri. Two different things, and not contradictory. Doesn't mean because you love the person in your city more than you love the person in the next city. But it's not appropriate to go help the Ani in the next city and disregard the Ani that's right there in front of your face. That's wrong. Different kind of a thing. It's a different system.
Ready?
Yeah.
You mentioned that Avraham Avinu, when he wants to be retired, the idea of Ani, and he must have given that.
What?
The Avraham Avinu with Machadish, the concept of Adni.
Right.
And that he must have given that over to Yitzhak, and the others gave over the knowledge to the next Av.
Yes.
But what knowledge...
No. I mentioned the Eitz Yosef, that Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov, that every one of the others had the knowledge on their own firsthand.
Okay.
It was, they did not rely on the knowledge of their father. It wasn't Avram Avinu. There's no doubt Avraham Avinu taught the ideas, but Yitzchak knew it firsthand just as much as Avram. It's like the Rambam wrote in the letter to his Talmud. He said he would not give him the answer because he wanted him to arrive at the answer himself, naturally, first. He would not give him the answer. So when he got the answer, it was his own. It was his own answer. The same thing was true with the Yedias Hashem of the Avos. Everyone had primary Yedias Hashem on their own. It wasn't that they said that Yaakov, that Avraham Avinu, I trust him, and I trust him as a metaphysician, and therefore I believe in all the and all the facts about God that he told me. That's not the way it works.
If that being the case, then what knowledge, if any, was given over from Shem and Aver to any of the
others? Avraham didn't get any knowledge from Shem and Aver.
What about Yaakov?
You mean the Chazal says they went and learned
right.
by Shem and Aver?
Right.
Then it's an enhancement of metaphysics. Doesn't mean they didn't learn anything from anybody. That's a mistake. I mean, there's no... Avraham Avinu was self-taught. That's true. But it doesn't mean if you learn... It doesn't mean a person should avoid learning by a Rebbe and try to be self-taught. That's crazy. When you have knowledge available, you're supposed to pursue the knowledge. And it doesn't mean that if you learn from a Rebbe that you're not... that you don't understand it yourself. A Rebbe can facilitate and can give you to make the process much more rapid and much more exact and much more advanced. But the if you apprehend it with your own mind, it doesn't matter anymore where the source is from. Once you apprehend it, you understand it clearly, your mind understands it, so then it's your knowledge. That's what the Gemara says, thing Rav Papa said, that he can't distinguish, very often to distinguish between what he said and what his Rebbe said, because it's like one, it became like one in his mind. It's very often distinguished because the ideas were so clear to him. It was like his own ideas.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
The concept of trying to love a non-Jew.
Yes.
So how does that relate to the hatal reachas nosam? Is there any difference between loving a Jew as opposed to loving a non-Jew?
Yes, there is a difference. The mitzvah to love a non-Jew is really, again, starts with Avraham Avinu. There is a difference. Avas Abrios. Avas Abrios means that there is a, that a person, every person, that was the Rambam, I mean, in Sefer Mitzvahs. He says that was the work of Avraham Avinu, because he had Avas Abrios and Avas Hashem, and that combination forced him into the role of being the one that taught the world the idea of God, the true idea of God. So Avas Abrios is something which is incumbent upon everyone. I mean, the whole tefillah in Rosh Hashanah is Avas Abrios. I mean. The Melacha Kol and Yedek Kol Po, Yevon Kol Tzatim, Yemon Kol Shem Shem Ba'apa, Hashem Lekes HaMelacha Kol Tzatim, Bekom HaShova. Ki Beisit Beis Tzilu Yikar L'Chol Amen. I mean, Avas Abrios is a basic thing that we learn from Avraham Avinu. And, I mean, I know a lot of people today don't recognize that idea because they don't recognize the perfection that Torah teaches. But, in truth, the Avas Abrios is a limitless concept. I mean, every human being is Yetzir Kapov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I mean, if a person doesn't have an Ava for Yetzir Kapov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or Tzal Malakim, he has to lack an Ava Hashem. It's impossible otherwise. But there's a separate halacha of Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha insofar as the Yisrael is a Ben Bris. And so far as he is an individual that's participating in a very special system of Atem Tiyuli Mamlechas Kohanim the Gai Kadosh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him showed to him a very special Ava, that he took these individuals and gave them a very special role. That's Ava Solom Aftan of Hashem Lekeno. And that's the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us a special level of Ahava. And so far as that is so, it makes every individual that participates in that role it places them on a special level insofar as Ava is concerned as well. In other words, just like we said before, that everything always boils down to Vayikra Shom B'Shem Ad Hashem Kelolam. Everything, all ethics and everything always boils down to that. But based upon that, you see, based upon that, there are different degrees of Ava. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself showed a special Ava to Klal Yisrael and included individuals in a very specific role, Va'atem Tiyuli Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. So just like the Ava for the Brios must exist because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayipach Biapav Ruach Hayim and he gave Adam Akselam Elokim, and that demands that we have an Ava for a being that is created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and endowed with the Tzelem Elokim. Avas Hashem demands that you have an Ava for such a creature. You also have to recognize that you must have a different Ava for the creature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu included in the special role of Atem Tiyuli Mamlechas Kain of HaKadosh. That's why V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha is on a different degree than Avas Abrios. Because God himself placed that individual on a different level, in a different role, a different closeness, a different proximity to God. So the closer one is to God, the more Ava he deserves. So that's why Avas Yisrael is on a different level. V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha is a different level, different degree than Avas Abrios in general. But it doesn't mean that there's a negation. I mean, for most people, you know, I mean, the mitzvahs of Torah, unfortunately, are used for their own emotions. So they feel, you know, we're in a special club. So therefore, you could degrade the guy, you could fool the guy, you could mistreat the guy. That's against Kol HaTorah Kula. It's against the whole Vayikra Vayita Eishel Bever Shalav Abraham Hashem Hashem Kel Olam. Who was he talking to? There were no Jews then. It was just Brios. It was Tzelem Elokim. So it doesn't. So Yahadus does not weaken the idea of Avas Abrios. But at the same time, we must recognize what HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes, and that is that there's a special role that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. And that's what we mentioned before. That there's mitzvot in terms of Avas Hashem, entities that lead to perfection, and to Yedias Hashem, and then there's Bris. There's a special reason for Chatham is called Mitzvah Sad Hashem. And here Hashem Kechem Shetzeh from Eretz Yisrael. So it means I gave you a special role, God says, and since God gave us that role, so everyone involved in that aspect, in that level of existence, it's a different level, deserves a special kind of recognition and a special kind of significance. And that's really, that's Avas Yisrael. That's why Avas Yisrael is different. It's not a Tati to Safri, but it is different. It's not a negation of the Brios, but it's a recognition of a different level of significance because of the role. Okay? All right, we'll stop here. This is like a continuation from Sunday. It's all the same minion, all right? Okay. All right. So the question that was asked me is how is about chesed. That was the original question. Why we do chesed? All right. And then I went through the Rambam, which I just like to restate again. I mean, you know, it's worthwhile restating. I restated in a little more of a definitive overview fashion. In other words, what the Rambam really is saying is like this. There are two aspects to our knowledge of God. Okay, one is that God exists. Okay, his existence, and then the Achdus Hashem, which is really the metaphysics of his existence, and that's really Yisoda Yisodos Vamra Chachmos Leida Sheyeshom Elokam Motzei. Okay, that's the first aspect of Yedias Hashem, primary aspect of Yedias Hashem. That Yedias Hashem leads to Avas Hashem. All right? That's why in the Perek Beis, you have Aleph Hashem. Perek Aleph, you have Yediyas Hashem.
Yeah, okay.
Am I right? Okay, you understand what I'm talking about? In the Mishnah Torah.
Right.
Okay? In Perek Aleph of Yisrael Torah is Yediyas Hashem. Perek Beis is Avas Hashem. Okay, so Avas Hashem stems naturally from that idea, that Yediyas Hashem, of God's existence. But then there's another aspect of Yediyas Hashem. And the second... Okay, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The second aspect of Yediyas Hashem is the Yediyas Hashem insofar as how God is Noheg in Briosos. The Nihug HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Briosos. Okay? Should I wait?
I'm trying to look at the Florida one.
So
you can go on.
Okay. All right. Can you give me your meal for... Yeah.
Can we get a meal?
Okay. So... Yeah, so the thing is like this, that the second aspect of Yediyas Hashem is the idea of how God is Noeg in Briosos. That's a different, that's a different idea. Okay? That idea...
Can you put your mute button on? Can you put your mute on?
Hello?
Can you put your mute on, please? Thanks. Go ahead, Rabbi.
Okay. That second Yediyah is Yediyas Hashem b'negeya to how God is Noeg in Briosos. Okay? And that's basically that's basically kol haTorah kula. I mean, in terms of Yediyas Hashem, those are the two categories of Yediyas Hashem. Alright? The two categories of Yediyas Hashem. One Yediyas Hashem is insofar as God's existence, and the second Yediyas Hashem is insofar as how God is Noeg in Briosos, what we call Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Now, Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something which we can only know through Nevuah. Okay? Which we can only know through Nevuah. Now, that's what the Rambam means, let me get lost here. So the second aspect of Yediyas Hashem, each Yediyah promotes in us a certain kind of activity, okay, engenders in us a certain kind of activity. The Yediyas Hashem, insofar as God's existence is concerned, that generates Avas Hashem, okay. And the Yediyas Hashem, insofar as how God is Noeg in Briosos, that engenders the Avas HaBrios, what we call Avas HaBrios. Okay, how we the Midos that we follow, the emulation of Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Mahu HaFata. Okay, all right. I wasn't precise. Avas HaBrios really is not necessarily generated from the second aspect. It's from the first also. But I mean, more precisely, the second idea of how God is Noeg, the Yediyas Hashem, insofar as the Niyur HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Briosos, the Hodieni Noas Drachecha, engenders in us the Mahu Afata. Mahu Nikro, the reason why... the reason why we have to deal with chesed, with the brios, with the emulation of God's midas, okay, emulation of midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the second, the mahu afata. So the second one is the first one is avas Hashem, and the second one you might say in general terms avas HaBrios, okay, and how we and our nihug with the brios, chesed. All those things that we mentioned that the Rambam explains, okay? So really the two categories of knowledge result in two different activities. Okay? That's why the Rambam says, when the Navi says, when Yirmiyahu says that Kiyim Bezos Yisal HaMishalel Haskel V'Yadoa Osi, he didn't stop over there. But he says, Ki ani er Hashem, osem mishpat utzdoko ba'oretz, ki be'elo chafatzdi no Hashem. So he says, that's exactly what Yirmiyahu is saying. that the first yidi is not enough. Haskil v'idosi is not enough. But it's Kanir Hashem, Osa Mishpot Zdoko Ba'oretz, Kibela Chafatzi. It means to say you must have the second yidiya also, which is the yidiya of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Noeg in Briosos. And that we have through Nevuah. Now, the more a person has knowledge, the more of a person has knowledge of Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Noeg in Briosos, the more, I mean, and that's what we said, well, that was Avram Avinu. The more he's perfected in terms of the Ma'alafato, because the Ma'alafato is a natural result of from that yidiya. Just like the Rambam says that the Avas Hashem is identical with Yidiyas Hashem, and the Rambam says that you can't exceed, the Ava cannot exceed the yidiya. The same thing, it would seem, is true with regard to the second category, which is Yidiyas Hashem, insofar as how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Noeg in Briosov, that too, insofar as a person has knowledge of the, insofar as a person has knowledge of the Derech Hashem, of the Odininos Drachecha, that's how much he will be able to reach the true level of Ma'alafata. And that was really the Bakash of Moshe Rabbeinu. Odininos Drachecha. That was Hashem Kavracham Lachanam. So obviously it was necessary in order for Moshe Rabbeinu to have that knowledge, even though he was the greatest chacham, but nevertheless he had to receive that knowledge through Nevuah, and that was the Sakosi Chapi Lechad Ovri, and it was a Mari Nevuah, and through that Mari Nevuah he attained a higher level, the highest level possible of the idea in that category of Hodininos Rachecha. But of course, the Avraham Avinu also had the idea of Darchei Hashem, like the Rambam says, like I mentioned, like the Pasuk says, Ki Datav Manas Sheitav Es Bonas Beis V'Shamru Derech Hashem Lasas Dako Mishpat. So Avraham Avinu also had the idea, but I'm just saying that the greater the idea in that area, the greater will be the person's ability to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's based upon Yediyah. It's based upon on Chachma. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu wanted that Chachma. He wanted to increase his Chachma in that realm, in the realm of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Noeg in Briosos. Because just like the Chachma Sabriya of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator, so that knowledge is infinite. So too, this area as well is based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite chachma, and cannot be approached emotionally. I mean, all the questions that people ask are nonsensical, because the questions are just based upon the assumption that the way their emotions, if the world were only run according to their emotions, there wouldn't be any kashas. I mean, the approach is nonsensical. But in truth, the Rambam says in the Mordechai Rukham, he says, When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Ani avir kol tuvi al panecha, so the Rambam says, what is kol tuvi? So the Rambam says, kol tuvi means wherever I said tov. Wherever God said tov. So where did it say tov? In Sheish Tzimei Bereishis. Vayar Hashem ki tov. Vayar Hashem ki tov. Vayar Hashem is kol asher osa v'nei tov mod. So Ani avir kol tuvi al panecha means, the Rambam explains, that God explained to Moshe Rabbeinu all the chachma in the Bria, in Bria Solom, all the chachma that man can comprehend in terms of Bria Shemayim Varetz. Ani Avir Kol Tuvi Al Panecha. Apparently, and then after that, he explained to him the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, Ani Avir Kol Tuvi Al Panecha, V'Kol Hashem V'Hashem L'Panecha. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu explained the Gimel Midos. So really, it would seem clear from that Mari HaNevuah again that the Chochma that in order would appear that in order to have an increase in the Yediyas Hashem in the second category, you also have to have an increase in Yediyas Hashem in the first category, because the first category is Yediyas Hashem insofar as God is the Borei Olam. Okay, and that is. And that is the Yisori Yisoros. But it would seem that Moshe Rabbeinu got an increase in both areas. It's not one area hinges on the other. The increase in knowledge in the Ni'avir Kol Tuvi in the Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Torah's Borei Olam was necessary in order to have an increase in the knowledge of the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Niyug HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one thing Yadus makes clear over here, that these areas are areas of great knowledge and Chochmah. And one is even contingent upon the other. But the question was raised, the question was asked, we don't have that knowledge, so how could we be Noeg Chesed? If it's, the Teretz is too good. Teretz is, you can answer the question and show that, it requires infinite Chachma, and we don't have infinite Chachma, so therefore we can't do it. So why should we be motivated to do Chesed? That, I believe, is the question that the fellows asked me. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Okay.
Can you back the phone away a little from the speaker?
Sorry. Okay.
Okay? Yeah. So, at any rate, yeah. So, what I wanted to say was that there's an interesting Rambam. The Rambam in chapter 32 of the Mora, where the Rambam talks about the idea of Kabbanis and why we have Kabbanis. And the Rambam is very adamant about it and in his interpretation. The Ramban is very upset with the Rambam's interpretation. But the Rambam, on the other hand, is very, very adamant about it. I just want to use it because I think it's something which, the way the Rambam explains, I think if we understand it, that it'll answer this question. It'll answer this question too. Question of how we should be Noheg insofar as Chesed is concerned. So the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says, chapter 32 in the third book of the Mori, so like this. He says, first, it's an interesting thing. Well, he starts off the chapter, he starts off with a medical description of how the nerves work. And the nerves, how they attach to the muscles, and then they become sinews, and the gradual development. And he says the funny thing, the way he starts off like that. I mean, he's like this. He says in other words like this, that you see in nature a developmental process. And then he says also, he gives another example. He says, in a similar manner did God provide, this is a little easier to understand, did God provide for each individual animal of the class of mammalia? When such an animal is born, it is extremely tender and cannot be fed with dry food. Therefore, breasts were provided which yield milk, and the young can be fed with moist food, which corresponds to the condition of the limbs of the animal, until the latter have gradually become dry and hard. Okay, in other words, he says, you find in nature the way God created the world, in the Bria, you see that there is such a thing as a progression in nature. That God provided the youngster with a different kind of a food until the body can be perfected and can partake of the food which is most appropriate for it. But in the undeveloped stage, it must be given something which is in line with its state, with its undeveloped state. So the Rambam says, so the Rambam proceeds, that it's interesting, I mean, what does this have to do with the whole thing? We'll get back to it. But this way it starts off. In other words, that he says, so based upon that, he says like this. He says, many precepts in our law are the result of a similar course adopted by the same supreme being. It is namely impossible, he says, to go suddenly from one extreme to the other. It is therefore, according to the nature of man, impossible for him suddenly to discontinue everything to which he has been accustomed. He said, now God sent Moshe Rabbeinu to the to make the Kol Yisrael Mamlechas Kenev Gai Kadosh. Alright? So he says the Israelites were commanded to devote themselves to his service and to serve him with all your heart. Okay. He says, but the custom which was in those days general among all men, and the general mode of worship in which the Israelites were brought up, consisted in sacrificing animals in those temples which contained certain images, to bow down to those images and to burn incense before them. Religious and ascetic persons were in those days the persons that were devoted to the service in the temples erected to the stars, as has been explained by us. It was in accordance with the wisdom and plan of God, as displayed in the whole creation, that he did not command us to give up and to discontinue all these manners of service. For to obey such a commandment, it would have been contrary to the nature of man, who generally cleaves to that which he is used. All right? It would in those days have made the same impression as a prophet would make a present if he called us to the service of God and told us in his name, in God's name, that is, that we should not pray to God, not fast, not seek his help in times of trouble, that we should serve him in thought and not by any action. He says, that would be impossible. For this reason, and later the Rambam says, I just want to point out, in case, even though over here the Rambam would imply that the Rambam will come back to Tefillah. The Rambam comes back to Tefillah. He shows that he compares Tefillah to Avodah, and he says that Tefillah is a more serious closer to the goal, Tefillah. And he says Tefillah is something without which a person can never achieve perfection. Indispensable. He says, the sacrificial service is not the primary, I'm jumping to the next page. I now return to my thing. As sacrificial service is not the primary object, while supplication, prayers, and similar kinds of worship are nearer to the primary object and indispensable for obtaining it. Okay? I just want to mention that because when he mentions this instance with the prophet, it sounds like at first sight, like he's deprecating tefillah. I just want you to realize that he's not. That he's saying tefillah is still not the ultimate. That's an interesting thing. And the halacha recognizes that, by the way, because we say that a person that's teras and nasa is pata from tefillah. So tefillah is not the ultimate. The ultimate really is yediyah. That everybody is moda. But the Rambam, I just don't want anyone to think that the Rambam is deprecating tefillah. And saying that because, on the contrary, he says later, he says it's virtually impossible to arrive at perfection without tefillah. Okay. So, it's an interesting thing. I'll tell you why. Because, the Ramban criticizes the Rambam in Vayikra. And the Ramban's criticism of the Rambam is he quotes chapter 46 in the third part of the Morah. Now, chapter 46 is, it's interesting. Maybe we'll go into it a little bit. But the truth of the matter is, it's very strange, but the Ramban quoted the wrong Rambam. I mean, I can't remember such a strange thing, but the Ramban here quotes the wrong Rambam. Because the Rambam, with regard to sacrifices, in chapter 46 is only talking about the details of why they brought certain minim, the three minim. But he's not talking about, in general, the purpose of the kabbanos. The purpose of the kabbanos are really here, in chapter 32. And I don't know why the Ramban seems to have erred, in terms of his quote. I don't have any answer for it, but he's quoting the wrong part. As a matter of fact, at one point I thought maybe he only had chapter 46. But the Rambam himself says in that chapter, he says, we have described their use in general terms, and that's in chapter 32. I will now proceed to give you the reason for each precept separately. In other words, in chapter 46, he's just going into the details. But the real reason for Kabbanis is in chapter 32. I don't know why the Ramban quotes the wrong Rambam on this. But anyways, I just want to get back to this Rambam over here. With regard to the Kabbalah, because I think it contains a very important idea, a very important universal. Because over here, the Rambam, when the Rambam talks about Kabbalah, He's not just talking about Kavanas. I mean, he's talking about the whole Derech Hashem, I mean, that's manifested by the mitzvos. In the mitzvos, the Rambam held in the mitzvos is manifested the Derech Hashem. You'll see. I'll show you what he means. It says like this. He says that, okay. For this reason, God allowed, I'm sorry if I, you know, if I'm a little, rambling, but the thing is that I just want to, you know, certain side points that I want to make sure I cover. That's like it. So for this reason, God allowed these kinds of service to continue. Alright? He transferred to his service, that was God transferred to God's service, that which had formerly served as a worship of created beings and of things imaginary and unreal. Okay. In other words, yeah. And commanded us to serve him in the same manner. Okay. That is, to build unto him a temple. Compare, and they shall make unto me vasli migdash. To have the altar erected to his name. An altar of earth shalt thou make unto me. Okay, to offer sacrifices to him. Okay? Olam ki yakrav mikan. All right, to bow down to him, to burn incense before him. All right, it's an interesting thing. I mean, he has forbidden to do any of these things to any other being. He who sacrifices zaveach u'olayim yacharam, bilti la Hashem levado. All right, pasuk in Shmos. Now he says, okay, and then he quotes another pasuk. He selected priests for the service in the temple, and they shall minister unto me in the priest's office. Okay. He made it obligatory that certain gifts, called the gifts of the Levites, and the priests should be assigned to them for their maintenance while they are engaged in the service of the temple and its sacrifices. Okay. By this divine plan, it was effected that the traces of idolatry were blotted out, and the truly great principle of our faith, the existence and unity of God, was firmly established. This result was thus obtained without deterring or confusing the minds of the people by the abolition of the service to which they were accustomed and which alone was familiar to them. Yeah. Okay. Now he says like this. We'll get, there is a problem here. I mean, the problem, of course, is that, and I believe the Ramban points it out. I don't know if he points it out over here. I think he points it out somewhere else. The problem, of course, is that we say that you're not allowed to. You aren't really allowed to. Losumad lasos kesovas agayim ahim. So the Ramban says that you're not allowed to serve God in the same manner that you're not allowed to borrow any type of practices from them. That's what it's all. It's interesting. Over here, the Ramban saying no. On the contrary. That the manner in which they were accustomed to serving their gods, that manner was maintained and established by the Torah to serve the real God. I mean, there is a problem there. That is something which is a problem, because the Torah says I don't remember the pasuk in Dvarim, but the pasuk says, I believe that maybe the pasuk, some of us says the Ramban says that you're not allowed to borrow from Goyim and any kind of practices. In other words, the methods which they use to serve their gods are an abomination. You're not allowed to borrow from those methods. Now, Veda Ram seems to be saying just the opposite. And it's a difficult question. But the Rambam didn't think that was the question. He thought there's another question that's bothering everybody. So like this. He says, I know that you will at first thought reject this idea and find it strange. You will put the following question to me in your heart. How can we suppose that divine commandments, prohibitions, important acts, which are fully explained and for which certain seasons are fixed, should not have been commanded for their own sake, but only for the sake of some other thing, as if they were only the means which he, in other words, God, employed for his primary object? What prevented him from making his primary object a direct commandment to us and to give us the capacity of obeying it? Okay, these precepts, which in your opinion are only the means and not the object, would then have been unnecessary. Okay. So the Rambam says that he says his question is that you're going to be upset with this answer because you're going to say this. The Ramban really is the one that raised this question, that it comes out that everything is just negative, shlilus. Everything is just, there's no real positive purpose in these mitzvahs. All these mitzvahs are really just negative because the Jews were among people that had this kind of worship, and it was impossible to give these people the true ideas. So therefore, God invented the whole Seder Kabbanis. The Seder Kabbanis is based on the practices of the Egyptians and the Sabians and the other cultures. Okay. So he says that, I know this question is going to bother you. So he says like this. He says, hear my answer, which will cure your heart of this disease and will show you the truth of that which I have pointed out to you. Okay. And then he says, and that's a funny kind of a statement. I mean, apparently the Rambam held this question is not simply a question, it's a disease. All right. We have to understand, what is a disease? But he says, there occurs in the law a passage which contains exactly the same idea. It is the following. God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although it was near, for God said, maybe the people will repent, they'll be frightened when they see war, and they will return to Egypt. Okay, so he led them about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. All right, here God led the people about, away from the direct road, which he originally intended, because he feared they might meet on that way with hardships too great for their ordinary strength. He took them by another road in order to obtain thereby his original object. In the same manner, God refrained from prescribing what the people by their natural disposition would be incapable of obeying, and gave the above-mentioned commandments as a means of securing his chief object, which is to spread a knowledge of him among the people, and to cause them to reject idolatry. But it is contrary to man's nature that he should suddenly abandon all the different kinds of divine service and the different customs in which he has been brought up, again the Rambam elaborates, and which have been so general that they were considered as a matter of course. It would be just as if a person were trained to work as a slave with mortar and bricks, and then he should interrupt his work, clean his hands, and at once expect him to fight giants. He said it was the result of God's wisdom that the Israelites were led about in the wilderness till they acquired courage. And Ram goes on to explain that the wilderness leads to courage, and this is basically his answer. Okay, so yeah. What is the Rambam saying? I mean, this is something which I think should be pointed out. The Rambam, as I mentioned at first, he starts off with this analogy from the human body, with the flesh and the muscles and the sinews that gradually the body structured in a certain way. I mean that. I'm not a physician. This part is not exactly too clear to me. But he's stating that it's a means. In other words, in order, what he's saying is that in order for the body to work, so it requires a certain means, and God supplies the means. And the same thing, in the same manner, he mentions the infant. Okay, God supplies the infant with the food that it needs, even though that's not the real food, that it's the ultimate food, but in that state, It needs this intermediary food, and God supplies the infant with that food. Yeah. And then the Rambam over here, when he says, "Listen to this answer, which will cure your disease," he quotes that pasuk, "Vayinochem alakim derechad plishtim," which is a pasuk which most people don't really get too excited about. I mean, okay, it makes sense, and that's it. But the Rambam found in that pasuk the whole Yisora Kabonis. I mean, we have to understand, what is the Rambam, what's he saying there? I mean, that's a pasuk which is taken as an intelligible thing. Well, fine, it's a side thing. Rambam found that pasuk, the whole Yisrael Kabbonis, answer with that pasuk. What is the Rambam saying here, basically? But the Rambam is saying here, and that's what he means by the disease. What he means by the disease is the Rambam is saying that from certain things you can see the Derech Hashem. And when you see the Derech Hashem, to make light of the Derech Hashem in general is really a sick kind of a thing. It stems from a disease in man. That man only follows, overestimates his own desires and his own wishes and his own emotional value system. And because of that, he deprecates the Derech Hashem. But the truth of the matter is that the Derech Hashem is the way, the ultimate way that things could be done. It sounds like an obvious statement, but people don't really want to recognize that. So that's exactly what the Rambam is saying. Why the Rambam is pointing to that pasuk? Because people, when they read that pasuk, "Vaynacham Elokim derech haaretz plishtim," so they read the side thing. It's like a side thing. The Rambam says, "Just a minute. This is Derech Hashem that the Torah is describing. So are you going to tell me that the Derech Hashem, insofar as how God led the people through the wilderness, is an inferior kind of a Derech? You're going to say, Mamonashach, if you're going to tell me that this is an inferior thing," he says, "then you're saying that Derech Hashem is something which is unimportant. Elamai, you're going to tell me that this is, this idea, the way God was Noheg with the Bnei Yisrael, the Nihug HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we discussed before, the Nihug HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Briyosov, is this what the Torah is describing. So this is the ultimate. So then you're going to tell me that God cannot create a mitzvah in the same Nihug? This is a sick kind of a thing." Do you follow what the Rambam is saying? And that's why the Rambam brings the example of the infant and the example of the sinews and the muscles and the nerves. Because he's showing from the Bria itself the Derech Hashem. He's showing the Derech Hashem from the Bria itself. And that's in line with what I mentioned before. That the Rambam says by Moshe Rabbeinu, God says, "Ani avir kol tuvi al ponecho, v'karasi b'shem ad Hashem l'ponecho." It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu, gave him through Mariah Nevu, Yediyas Hashem b'negeah to Kol Tuvi, b'negeah to the derech ha'olam, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu was borei the olam. So over there, that's Kol Tuvi. So what the Rambam is saying is that the same derech, and that's part of the Mariah Nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu, that the same derech that God uses in the creation, He uses also in the Torah itself, in mitzvahs itself, and in Nihug B'nei Adam. It's all the Derech Hashem, the same Derech Hashem. That's why the Rambam over here, equates all three. It's an interesting thing. The Rambam, when you read the Rambam, at first sight you don't really see what he's saying. I mean, like usually is the case with the Rambam. But actually what he is saying over here is, what he has done in this parak really, is unified and shown the Derech Hashem from the creation to the Nihug, which is Lo Nochom Elokim Derech Haaretz Plishtim, to the Mitzvah of the Torah. Because it's the same, there's one, the same line, the same approach is found in all three. And it's based upon, in my opinion, it's based upon what the Rambam explains, Ani Avir Kol Tuvi Al Ponecho, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the Midos, Hashem Hashem Kerachem Lachan, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Noeg in Briyosov, the Chachma of the Nihug HaKadosh Baruch Hu was tied to the Chachmas of Briya. That's exactly what the Rambam did over here. He showed that the Nihug HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressed in the Briya as well. And that's why in order to understand and in order to have a full idea of the Derech Hashem, it's necessary to see the manifestation of His Nihug in the Briya as well as in His Nihug as well as in his mitzvahs. So what the Rambam is saying is, if that is a small thing to you, then you simply have a disease because you deprecate the Derech Hashem. The Derech Hashem is not enough for you. Something that you don't want to hear about. Fine, okay, who cares? It's not important. That's an illness, because that means the person does not wish to recognize the Derech Hashem and the perfection of the Derech Hashem, and to realize that if to him it seems like a slight thing, there's something wrong with him. There's some problem that he has. And what the Rambam held, that's what the Rambam called it, a disease, is because the Rambam held that it's the nature of man to want to think that what he's doing is of a positive nature. That's human nature. Human nature wants to feel that what the individual is doing has a definite positive benefit. But if a person will think that it's just to avoid something, he doesn't feel a sense of accomplishment. The sense of accomplishment in man is tied to the positive. Okay? But that's a defect in human nature. That's a defect in human nature. If a person doesn't speak Lashon Hara, so a person will not feel the same sense of accomplishment as he sat down and learned the Black Gemara. Not because of the comparison of the two, but because of the fact that one, it was simply an abstention. An abstention, he avoided something. But a person doesn't realize that sometimes the greatest good, that everything that we do, it has only one purpose. And the purpose is to bring us close to the ultimate objective. And whether it's something which is done through avoidance, in other words, a negative, or whether it's a positive, makes absolutely no difference in that framework. That's just an emotional thing that man has. So what the Rambam, that's what the Rambam calls it, a disease. It's an interesting thing. What the Rambam means to say is that a person by nature will feel that if it's just this, that's all it is. Oh, okay, that's no big deal. So a person will deprecate kabbonis, because a person will feel that the reason why you have kabbonis is only because of the fact that it's necessary, because the Jews were raised in such a society, and therefore the only way that they could reach the true idea of the existence and the unity of God was through the institution of kabbonis. So kabbonis are really only a negative. It's a shlilus. So then I really don't care so much about kabbonis. So that's what the Rambam says. That's an illness that man has, that he puts down a thing, it's not a positive thing. That's like a work ethic. It's a work ethic emotion. I accomplished something. I did something. The fact that a person accomplishes more many times by not doing, which is 100% logical, doesn't impress the individual, because emotionally the individual wants to feel success only through the positive, through doing something. But the Rambam says that idea is a sick idea, because not only that it's not true, but it leads to the deprecation of very, very important things which HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself took into consideration and acted in that way. And there cannot be anything more important than the Derech Hashem, the way God acts. So to say that a mitzvah is not important, even though I can show you that this mitzvah is in line with the Derech Hashem, you're going to tell me the Derech Hashem is not enough, that it lacks, that is a disease. That's basically what the Rambam is saying in this paragraph. It's a very, very interesting thing. He's trying to point out that people are guided by a diseased way of thinking, which causes them to deprecate the Derech Hashem, where the Torah itself tells you that God acts that way. It's not enough for them, because it doesn't give them the emotional satisfaction. They want to feel when they did something with the Karbanis, they accomplished and they did. Just that it was a negation and avoidance, that's not enough. That's not enough for them. Okay, that's basically what the Rambam, that's one of the things that the Rambam is addressing in this chapter over here. One of the things. Okay. But it seems to me that with regard to that the same thing is true with the question that was raised, that people say, okay, if I can't understand the Yigimel Midos, I don't have the knowledge, and there's no reason for me to do Chesed. That's the same kind of a thing. You see over here what the Rambam is saying is that all the Avodah and the Karbanos was really